This is Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg.
Later on Building Bridges, Walmart and Ferguson protests spread across the country this holiday season, with special guest Dr. Jamal Bryant with the Empowerment Movement's Hands Up, Don't Spend campaign, a new dimension in the Ferguson protests, as he speaks to us from a Walmart protest in Washington, D.C., building bridges between these two growing mass movements.
But now, news headlines from Don DeBar.
Who's Walmart?
Our Walmart.
What do we want?
Desire.
When do we want it?
Now.
That was the sound at a Walmart in Washington, D.C., when Walmart workers and their supporters staged a sit-in and a march through the store to the exits, where they began a strike against the mega retailer.
We're leaving. Pack it in, guys. Take off your mouth. Who's Walmart? What are we here for?
Respect.
When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
Respect.
When do we want it?
Now.
You can tell it. We're all leaving.
The workers are seeking a minimum $15 an hour wage with full-time employment and the right to collective bargaining. Thus far, there are reports that they were joined by workers in nearby Maryland and Virginia, as well as workers in Illinois, Wisconsin, Texas, Oregon, Minnesota, California, Florida, Louisiana, Massachusetts, and Pennsylvania. Actions are planned at all of the giant retailers' 2,249 stores in the U.S. Meanwhile, Walmart suffered a major public relations hit after putting out charity bins for donations to the company's own employees. Earlier this week, workers chained a food donation bin outside Walmart heir Alice Walton's $25 million Park Avenue condo. The bin read, "Walmart owner Alice Walton, we don't want charity, we want decent pay. Love, Walmart workers." It was a clear reference to the employee food drives some Walmart stores have been holding. The company reportedly earned $16 billion in profit last year, with much of it going to the Waltons, America's richest family. Alice Walton is reportedly worth $38 billion. Walmart wasn't the only target of protesters in the first days of the holiday.
Dead bodies on the floor!
Nothing to be thankful for!
Dead bodies on the floor! Nothing to be thankful for!
One Ferguson solidarity action in Manhattan resulted in at least 7 arrests at the annual Thanksgiving Day parade. The protesters used the occasion to express solidarity with the family of Michael Brown, the black teenager killed by a white police officer in that Missouri town. There was a heavy police presence across New York City as officers braced for demonstrations on the sidelines of the event. Protesters chanted slogans such as "Black Lives Matter," "Demilitarize the police," and "Stop the parade." The grand jury's decision to not charge police officer Darren Wilson in the fatal shooting of the unarmed teen continues to drive coast-to-coast protests in the U.S., and we'll have more later as we continue to follow the news out of Ferguson and around the country. That's all we have for you right now. In New York, I'm Don DeBar.
And it's good to hear from Don DeBar. And myself and Building Bridges reporter Ken Nash captured some sound from some of the protests in New York. And I have to tell you, I got a lot of exercise. I hit the 59th Street Bridge, which was closed down by protesters. The Manhattan Bridge, which was closed down by protesters. East 6th Street entrance of the East River Drive. And the Lincoln Tunnel. And that's just for starters. Times Square, Union Square. Well, let's hear some of the sound of protesters who were there to take that moment that is drawing attention from around the world that started in Ferguson and is now carried through to the death in New York of Akai Gurley, through Cleveland, where the 12-year-old Tamir Rice was shot to death by the police. But let's listen to some of the protest sounds.
We have nothing to lose but our chains.
It's our duty to fight.
It's our duty to fight. It's
our duty to win.
It's our duty to win.
We must love
each other.
And protect each other.
And protect each other.
We have nothing to lose but our chains.
We have nothing to lose but our chains.
It's our duty to fight.
It's our duty to win.
It's our duty to win. Union Square Park after the verdict at Ferguson.
NYPD, you can't hide. We charge you with genocide.
I feel obligated to talk about the Mexican students. 43 missing students in Mexico. If we have learned anything in the past few months, is that the struggle of Gaza, of Ferguson, and Mexico. Teachers, and for protesting and for organizing, they were killed when they found a mass grave and the government said that they were the students, it wasn't them. And then they found another mass grave and it wasn't them. And then they found another mass grave and it wasn't them. And after a few weeks, they found 12 mass graves and none of them were the 43 students. But this shows you how repressive and how deadly Mexico is. And the only system that we can blame for the death of hundreds of thousands of Mexicans is the U.S. government. Because $3 billion has been used to go to Mexico to fight the so-called war on drugs, the war against the people. And whether it's in Mexico or in the barrios or in the neighborhoods in the United States, this drug war is a war against the people. So we got to stand up against this system because we know that under capitalism, not just black lives don't matter, Latino lives don't matter, Palestinian lives don't matter.
We want freedom!
So whatever the people at Ferguson did last night, I don't care what they did. It was all justified. So from Mexico to Ferguson to Gaza, we are united and we will one day win. Thank you.
Así capitalista. Así capitalista.
If anyone else would like to come up and say a few words.
As I think of, we are united tonight with one purpose. Whether you're black man, black woman, Palestinian man, Palestinian woman, whether you're Mexican, Nicaraguan, Guatemalan, it does not matter who you are. The color of your skin, your social backgrounds are not a license for the deprivation of your humanity. We've lived in a system where this has been a problem too long, where basically your life value is determined by a genetic lottery known as your birth. That has to stop. That is our purpose moving forward. Black life matters.
That's right.
Latino life matters. Male life matters. Female life matters. Poor life matters. Male life matters. And until the system understands that, until we live in a world that does not place a premium on wealth, white skin, and cis privilege, we will never be free. Let's remember that, and let this night not just be a night, but the beginning of a larger movement.
Our lives matter!
Our lives matter!
Our lives matter! Our lives matter!
Black lives matter!
Latino lives matter!
Black lives matter! Latino lives matter! Black lives matter!
Latino lives matter!
Black lives matter!
Latino lives matter!
I was there last night and I marched with Mike Brown. We went to the RFK Bridge and we shut that down! We marched through Harlem and we shut that down! And we are gonna march to the streets of New York and we are gonna shut that down! Emmett Till, no more youth.
We're not forgetting you.
We're not forgetting you.
Guy Gurley.
We're not forgetting you.
Okay, we got some other groups that are coming in. They're going to join us. Dynamic rhythms with them.
We're at the north end of Union Square Park, and it's filled and it's early. There are more contingents coming all the time. And I'm with, give me your names.
Donzel Crow.
Jotisha Bridges.
What's your reaction to the Ferguson verdict?
I can't even believe it. It's unexplainable. You know, how does this happen? How does, you know, an individual gets shot in the street, and this is not even an indictment. It's just, it's unbelievable. It's the only way to explain it.
And you?
Honestly, I wasn't surprised for the Trayvon Martin case. What happened? To see this, I'm not surprised, but I'm just embarrassed at our country that we don't stand up for justice, and we obviously, our American justice system is failing us. So I'm happy that something like this is happening so that we can rally together and really make change, a positive, peaceful change.
You've been active for a while, or is this the first time you're coming out?
As a child, my parents were more active, like in the 60s, and I guess that rubbed off on me. This is my first real time coming out as an adult.
You?
My parents have always been active for me. My parents came here back in the 60s, and they've dealt with, you know, levels of, I guess, discrimination and just racism in a sense. So, you know, we was here actually, there was a rally when this all happened, August 10th. We was here at that rally as well.
And how do you connect this to what's happening in New York City right now with Eric Garner and Gurley?
I guess this is us standing up for all those fallen soldiers. This is us really coming together as a New York City, as all the people. We're all different societies. That's what makes New York so beautiful, that we're all different. And we're coming together to really stand up for those we have lost in a violent way.
I think that with the effect of social media brings everything to light as far as, you know, what's happening across the country. It's not just in New York City. You know, you have many forums where, you know, police officers are, you know, receiving this sort of treatment in a sense where it's like, you know, the system is protects them, you know, so, and I feel like this is a, you know, this is our country. So.
And thank you so much for being out here. I'm talking again with
Jotisha Bridges.
Donzel Crow.
Thank you. With the gentleman who just arrived to the demonstration, and what's your reaction to the developments in Ferguson?
I think it's wrong what happened, and something should be done. But we don't need no more violence than what we already have.
This doesn't seem to be your first demonstration.
No, I've been to every demonstration I can on my scooter because I'm disabled.
What do you think of the verdict?
I think it's, you know, a lot of people being killed for nothing, for penny, and then they empty-handed. They don't find no gun. So what's an excuse? I think the person that did that should serve his time.
What do you think about what's going on in New York with our situation with the cops here?
I think it should be changing because this looks like California, like LAPD. That's what it's looking like. You know what I'm saying? It's almost the same way now. They're killing like for nothing. I've been, you know, looking into a lot of stuff that's going on, and if it happened to them, it can happen to me.
What's your name, please?
Victor Ortiz.
Okay, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And that was recorded as really thousands of demonstrators splintered off and took to, I mean, there were demonstrations in Harlem, there were demonstrations in Brooklyn at the Lincoln Tunnel, at the Manhattan Bridge, on the East River Drive, and we wanted to bring you some of the sounds as things continue. With Charles Lloyd's A Rendition in the background. He's such a great composer, aside from instrumentalist. We now turn our attention to Dr. Jamal Bryant and the Empower Movement, who are calling for a national economic mobilization in the wake of the grand jury's finding of no true bill to indict Darren Wilson in the shooting death of Michael Brown. And Dr. Bryant has been very hard to catch up with. He has been an ever-ready bunny battery. He is all over the country. And I know, thank you, of course, for joining us. You're in Chicago getting ready for what, Dr. Bryant?
I'm in Chicago to stand shoulder to shoulder with Walmart workers who are standing out of 1,600 stores across the country looking for dignity and respect. The average worker at Walmart doesn't make $24,000 a year and are not able to collect benefits. And so on this, the biggest shopping day of the year, they're walking out today, really trying to make a stand. And so I'm really trying to reunite the marriage covenant between the black church and labor, to say that we've got to do this because it's right and it's fair.
I am so gratified to hear that as somebody who follows very closely the movements and interests of the working class. We spoke to two workers who had participated in the sit-down strikes and were arrested in their efforts to try to get a $15 minimum wage and deal with the incredible abusive conduct and retaliation of Walmart to its workers when they try to organize. I'm particularly interested in what that covenant is, that marriage that you're speaking of in terms of the black church with this economic empowerment movement of low-wage workers. How does it come about? What's the significance of it?
I think it's very significant because, by and large, these workers are members of our church, and I think that we've got a responsibility to stand with them. I think that the black church over the last 20 years has lost its way. We've gone from community advancement to personal attainment. One of the irons that I throw in the fire all the time is you would never, ever see a show on television called The Imams of Manhattan or see The Rabbis of Brooklyn. And I think that preachers have been so reduced to commercialism that is no longer seen as social civic servants. Which has really been our brand below these many years. And I think that we've got to reclaim our prophetic mantle and social engagement in order for us to be relevant in the community again. Not what we drive, but what's driving us. And I think that part of that is a reconnection to our work in the community.
This reminds me certainly of some of the work of the Moral Mondays movement and Reverend Barber, who has been instrumental in that. And, of course, I go back to Dr. King, who, a bad paraphrase on my part, but something analogous to what good does it do if you integrate a lunch counter and you can't afford to buy the hamburger. I don't think he said it quite like that. It was much more eloquent when he did, but in effect, that's what you're saying.
In no uncertain terms, I think consider that last year Walmart cleared a profit of $64 billion. So how can you justify not paying these people? If in fact we're dealing with a corporation that was in the red or barely trying to keep their doors open, but they've strategically been manipulating the time that they're able to work and trying to work around giving them health care, it's egregious. And anybody who cares about humanity needs to be on the front line of this. And what's very critical is something, again, Dr. King spoke, is not a black issue. It's an American issue. And so on these lines today are going to be white Americans, black Americans, Hispanic Americans, all standing together looking for America to live up to its freedom. So I'm honored to fly out here to Chicago to be with them this morning.
And one of the things that you have also been raising up, and we've been looking at protests around the country in response to the grand jury finding, and actually before that, exonerating, if you will, Darren Wilson, at least that grand jury, if certainly not in public opinion. But talk a little bit about the Hands Up, Don't Spend campaign.
I've been on the front line in Ferguson. We've been out there now. I think we're at 107 days. And as the whole world knows by now, the verdict was not what we were looking for. And here's what's amazing, is I'm a student of history, as it were, is that Albert Einstein said, if you keep doing the same thing and expect different results, it's the definition of insanity. And so in no uncertain terms, I don't think the marching is now it. If you do a flashback to the Montgomery bus boycott that incidentally started December 1st, is that they shifted it, not from a speech by Dr. King, not by a speech from C.T. Vivian or Ralph Abernathy. It wasn't even from a march on Washington. It was because they did collective and strategic economic sanctions. And when they shifted their money, then the system came to them to negotiate. And I think at this point, we've got to be very clear. America doesn't respond to marches and speeches, but they do respond to money. With African Americans having $1 trillion in spending assets, and we've not done anything collectively, corporately, in 25 years, I think that it's time for us to really strike while the iron is hot and realize that it's much larger than Michael Brown. When you would consider within this time frame, you've got right there where you are, Mr. Gardner, who was strangled, and you got it on film.
Absolutely.
When you have a 12-year-old in Cleveland shot within 2 seconds, then we're dealing with a much larger civil rights issue. I said just recently, I really believe Ferguson in history is going to be recorded as the Selma of the hip-hop generation, the birthplace of where we see civil rights is activated all over again.
Reverend Bryant, you've been in Ferguson. You are now standing with the Walmart workers. The workers are going to be in protest there over the policies that Walmart store, as all of them are, have, that are oppressive and stingy and miserable in the wake of their enormous profits, the Walton family, etc. Tie these things together for us, the police, really terrorism in communities of color, the low-wage workers, so many of whom are people of color and immigrants. How does it all come together? What does it say systemically about the United States of America? And then, of course, tell us how the Hands Up, Don't Spend campaign is going to be unfolding.
Well, I think what is very clear, if you cast glance at the landscape, that this is not springtime in Camelot. it's fall in Haiti. And I think that all of the fringes are falling apart. President Obama has had less executive orders than any other president in the last 100 years. But in an attempt to move America along, he's being vilified for doing it when he's had half the amount that George Bush or even William Jefferson Clinton had. When you would consider how the Republican Party is shutting down about poor people getting access to health coverage when they have it for free. And so you're getting ready to see an emergence, even when you hear the catchphrases of both the Democratic and Republican Party. Both seem to just pander to the middle class. Cornel West coined a phrase a couple of years ago called the livable wage. It's not even a working or minimum wage. Do I have enough to feed my family? And so you're seeing an emergence of poor people is no longer just black. Yesterday, Thanksgiving, you had PhDs in soup kitchens because they're not able to work, or because of corporations being outsourced, so because universities are not even paying the premium of what they used to. And so you're getting ready to see a shifting in America. And please take note, this is just before we go in the national presidential campaign season. So whoever's thinking about running, let me give a warning. This is not going to be the Amtrak Express. You're really going to have to come in the trenches and see the people who are really the nuts and bolts of the nation.
And then lastly, tell us quickly what people should be doing, and we have about 1 minute left. I wish we had more time. We've got to catch up and talk to you more often.
Please call me Collect. I'll be glad to do it.
Oh, well, you're going to regret that, but we're going to do that.
All right.
So tell us, just finally, what are we supposed to do with the Hands Up, Don't Spend campaign?
Yes, please. All the change you need in this country is in your pocket. Ask that you not spend this weekend, unless you are supporting a minority-owned business. I would ask that you not spend. If you're on Twitter, use the hashtag #HandsUpDon'tSpend. We do that from today all the way till Tuesday. I think we're going to make a marketable difference, and then after Tuesday, we'll recalibrate and see where do we go from here.
Thanks for the creativity. Thanks for reviving and reminding us about the power of the black dollar. And care about how it's used, support black businesses. Dr. Jamal Bryant, thanks for standing with the workers at Walmart and the people in Ferguson and for all that you do.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's been totally our pleasure. This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.